W8RCY. W8RCY. Hump Day. Anybody out there?
Hey, Donald. What's going on? K8RUH.
Ah, we have a recipient. Good morning, sir. Glad I caught you. I have a question for you, and I was just wondering, is your company that you work with capable of handling the disposal of lithium-ion batteries, small ones, like for HTs?
Yeah, no. Not really what we do, but we do have some outlets for that. You know, if you have something and you can get it to me, I could probably figure out how to get rid of it. But most of what we do is, you know, there's batteries in laptops, so we do handle a little bit of that stuff, but it's not necessarily one of our strong suits.
I have four Motorola HT-sized batteries that went bad. They're like 6 years old, and they just, the life went out of them because of, a lot of use and everything like that, and I just can't bring them back. I've been trying for 2 months, every trick in the book that I know, people in racing that know, that can, you know, they say, well, if you do this and this, you might be able to jumpstart them, and nope, I can't get them to come back up, and I just have no way of getting them out anywhere to dispose of them, and I'm just trying to find somebody that's in the field, and relatively in the field, that could maybe help me out. Just give them to me. I'll take care of it.
Well, it sounds like you have an answer. Yeah, I was going to say, but it sounds like you have Sean going to help you out. I don't pass by you often anymore because of the construction, but I was going to say, if you still had them when the construction's over, I could grab them from you, but it sounds like Sean's going to be able to help you out with that. Over to you, Sean.
Yeah, if you could imagine, it's a pretty regular thing for us. Large quantities all the time. A couple, two, three times a year, easily. But, we'll e-cycle them for you. We got a company that we've been using. They send us a box and bags, and we put them in the bag, and then we put them in the box, and it's got a self-addressed stamp label. We send it to them, and then they give us a small credit if we buy their batteries, which we don't. So I don't know how long that's going to last. Well, I presented the question to Anthony first because he's the first one I talked to this morning. But if you could help me out with that, I would greatly appreciate it. They're already boxed up. They're just in a little box wrapped in bubble wrap so none of the contacts touch one another. And, I've tried every trick in the book to refresh them and get them fired back up. But they are seven-year-old batteries, and they were the ones that I originally got with the radios. And they went through a lot of cycles with my work in racing, because I usually carry the radio plus an extra battery with me, the one that's on the radio plus an extra one for every race weekend, and some of it may be my own fault for not rotating them properly, but those are the oldest ones that I have, so they go. All right, well, we'll work that out, somehow, some way in the near future. Thank you very much, Anthony. And thank you, Anthony, for your assistance with that.
Well, I'm a little early here, gentlemen, so I'm already at the office. I'm going to get out and get in and start my day. So I will, I'll catch up with you later. Hopefully we all stay dry throughout the day. It looks like this evening we're supposed to get a pretty good rainstorm, so we'll see what happens. K8RUH, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Anthony. Hey, keep your eyes peeled for a Cadillac CT5. If you guys get one of those, I'm interested.
Okay, yeah. If I get one of them back off lease from a computer company, I'll make sure you're my first call.
If he's going to get a CT-5, get a CT-5 Blackwing. I would like a CT-6 Blackwing because those are even more rare. They were made in the early 2020s, like during the COVID year, and that was the original Blackwing on the CT-6 platform. And I need room, so because I am rather tall, and yeah, CT-6 will work for me. So if you get a CT-6, just let me know. Anthony, have a great day. Sean, over to you.
Yeah, so you said maybe you didn't properly wrote. You got 7 years out of those batteries. You didn't do nothing wrong. So we typically don't expect more than 2 years out of a battery, and that's with regular use. But they sit, they tend to last less, so using them. But regardless, if you're looking at, you know, over 5 years, forget about it. You've gotten way more than your money's worth out of them.
Well, when I originally got the HTs as part of the package, I got two batteries each. Each radio got two batteries. And when I go to racing, like I said, I usually carry one to maybe two extra batteries, especially for the 24-hour race. And I have gang chargers at my disposal there with racing radios. They handle it for me, and, you know, I just pass by their trailer and pick up a battery, drop off a battery kind of a thing. And, you know, so they got in their cycle, and, yeah, I mean, to get that many years, you say 5 years is a miracle. Well, the batteries I have now are 2023s and across the board, and they're pretty much all at 100% with the radios that are in use. And those who have my HTs in the field, like Joe and my sister, they know to rotate them. And, you know, they're holding up really, really well, but I still need to get a couple of them. I'm going to get rid of four and buy two. So that's what I'm in the market for very, very soon.
Well, there you go. Yep. You know, that's the one good thing. I've been thinking seriously about buying Tate handheld, and only because the price is right and the feature set is incredible, and the price is, when I say the price is right, it's still a very expensive radio. It's up there in an APX dual band range, but it does all that, and then a box of chocolates, so, and it's very compact and very nice looking radio. It's you know, Tate's kind of the Motorola of Australia and the Southeast Asia. So I have no doubt they're a decent product, but you know, I worry about things like, you know, batteries. You know, you can get online right now and you can search for Motorola batteries for Motorola's going all the way back to probably Sabres and, you know, and Elephant, and you can probably find them readily on Amazon or eBay and for really good prices. But you know, I wonder if I have a Tate portable, you know, how many additional people are going to have them for competition. So I'll be always going to the manufacturer. Not that that's a bad thing. And then the question is, you know, several years down the road, is there going to be a wealth of available batteries to me, third parties and things like that, like the Motorola's? Probably not.
Well, I can easily agree with that, but I also heard you mentioning something about a Viking, and I think that's, what is that? Is that the Tate, the Viking, or is that a Kenwood radio? And I'm not sure. I've listened to a lot of your discussions about it, and I sometimes get confused in my old age. But yeah, with me, with my motos, I mean, my radios came with the vibrating batteries, and so I got the clips with them too. So I got the clips, which are like $30 a piece, and those batteries are still available, but they're getting harder and harder to find. Diversified Electronics down in Atlanta, which is the parent company to Racing Radios, they've got them, and with my discount, I can get them, you know, fairly cheap. But I would like to keep those batteries while I can, and while I can get them. And I agree with you. You know, you can find a lot of aftermarket batteries, and even when I was looking for those, case I have to drift away from those types of batteries, who do you trust? So, yeah, I'm trying to, it's starting to get scarce for me, not so much with the actual battery that fits my radio frame, it's just the battery that has the vibrating belt thing. Those are going away because they're not even available for the R7s, to my knowledge, or any of the R-series radios that are out there that replace the XBR line of HT.
Wait a minute. I must not have been listening closely. A vibrating belt thing?
The DMR side of my Modal Turbo has a feature that the radio will give me a cheap thrill every time a call comes in. And you have to have one, they only make one battery for it, the 4488 or 4488A, and underneath the, where the mount is for the belt clip to go in, when I give you the batteries, you'll see it. There's three electrode bars that the clip has to connect, and that's the connection to through the battery to make the vibrating belt clip give you a cheap thrill.
I don't work with XPR radios very often, so no surprise, but I was completely unaware that something like that was available for those. Go figure. So, well, very interesting. Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, if you're looking at third party, there are really good third parties, and there are shady third party batteries. You know, and again, with Motorola, you probably got a large number of people that have used them. A lot of people have reviewed them. You know, people know which ones are good and which ones aren't. You know, again, if I've got a tape, you know, it's good luck having that amount of aftermarket batteries available, and good luck with there being a large number of people and or third parties or any of that stuff. So, yeah, anyhow, it's a thing. It's not a big thing, but it's a thing. And when you said the Viking and Kenwood and all that stuff, so JVC bought Kenwood some years ago, and then JVC recently, well, not terribly recently, but relatively recently, they bought Johnson as well. Johnson has always, you know, gone by the Johnson Viking, you know, product line. And so now what Kenwood is doing is they have their Kenwood line, which they're selling for, like, commercial. And then for public safety, they use the Viking line, which is a Johnson product. But they're all now Kenwood / JVC. So anyhow, what I was looking at is I do not care for the Viking portable, but I think the Viking mobile is the single greatest piece of kit on the market today. And that's what I'm trying to work shut now for is the Viking mobile. But it has to come with some, you know, serious considerations because it's very expensive. And but the reason I haven't pulled the trigger on the Tate handheld is because I want to do the Tate for the handheld. You know, then I'll have all three of the major players, and I can really give them a test. But how much I have to spend on a handheld, if I have a penny to spend on a handheld at all, will depend on what I get the Viking Mobile for. So that's where I'm at.
Leave a little room in there. Yeah, and thank you for shaking the cobwebs. I almost forgot about Johnson. Holy cow. Yeah, I remember that name very, very well. And I now when you say Johnson Viking, yeah, now the cobwebs are shaking loose. And I already took a shower this morning, but I guess I didn't scrub my head enough. But to shake them up, yeah, now I understand where you're coming from. Another thing with Motorola's is these aftermarket battery people that are making batteries for the XPRs, and I'm talking the 30, the small 3000 series HTs, the 3000, the 3300, things like that, 3500's got a partial keypad on it or a display. They all fit the same XPR frame, so they'll fit my 7550s. But now these aftermarket companies are coming up with the new popular thing, USB plug-in capability.
again, don't underestimate the convenience of that. You know, no more lugging chargers, you know, around with you everywhere you go. You know, if you're caught kind of off guard, you know, everybody's got a USB-C charger now these days. So, yeah, don't underestimate the convenience of that. So, you know, I do, if I was going to buy third party, and I wouldn't have a problem doing it, there's a few things that I care about. Well, it depends. You know, if you got an ATX, I kind of wanted to do the Impress thing because, you know, the radio will show you a very good, accurate reading of what the battery has capacity-wise and, and its current charge and all that stuff right on the radio because it shares that information with the radio. So I would kind of like that. I don't think the XPR does that, so I don't think I'd be as concerned. And I could live without that, but a lot of the aftermarkets I tried on the Impress radios don't show anything, so you don't get any kind of battery indication at all until it chirps, so that kind of sucks. But, that would be the thing I'd be concerned with if there's any kind of interface with the radio that tells it the condition of the battery. I'd be concerned if the third party does that. And, then there's companies that are just flat out, you know, the cheapest junk you can get from China. And then there's companies that actually do this for a living and they base their reputation on how good their aftermarket batteries are. So you just got to flush that out.
My XPR HTs do show battery life cycle in a percent number, and it also gives you the born-on date and one other reading, or life expectancy left, yeah. So it's three things, bar graph, life expectancy. These batteries that went bad, I think only one is over 50%, and the other thing is, like I say, the born-on date when it was initially charged, so the ones that I have are 2023s. So that's what they show on that. But it's surprising that, we were talking about the vibrating feature, that if that feature is on my XPR, why was a feature like that, or if there is one, I'm not aware of it, a vibrating feature for a higher quality radio like the APX line. I mean, the XPRs have them because of high noise situations, and that's why they give you a cheap thrill. But the fact of the matter is, if you can have it in that radio, why would you have it in the APX? That kind of baffles me.
I can see the value in it, but truth be told, it seems gimmicky to me. I don't think it's something we generally like, but I don't know. I mean, I can see the value. But I don't know of it being an option for an APX. I've never heard of that before. So there you go. And I didn't realize, okay, so the, I guess I have seen Impress chargers for XPRs. We have them with the displays and all that stuff. So the reconditioning chargers. So I'm guessing they got the whole gamut. Well, that would be one thing I'd be concerned with because some of the companies that have sent me third-party batteries to test. That was one of my biggest complaints. Is they not only do they show none of that information, and they do not cycle through the Impress charger, but they don't show you anything. They don't even show you just the condition of the battery as it's charged, right? Like they got two bars left, and they got one bar left, nothing. So I'd say, yeah, that's something. You got to be able to at least glance and say, oh boy, I better grab another battery because I'm at, two bars or something. W8FU.
And getting back to the USB charging thing, obviously when I'm running a car or even when I'm out with Joe driving around, I have a short USB cord to keep my phone charged up with me. And I charge it when I need to while we're driving, especially going up north. But, I mean, sometimes the radio, I've always thought about it, now that I'm seeing these batteries, it wouldn't hurt just to buy a single battery that'll fit my radio and just have it in the, center console armrest box and a USB cord to plug into there. and just be able to, like, switch the battery and have a working battery and save the good battery, the Impress battery, for when I get to my destination and I know I have a charger at that location or back home. So I was thinking about maybe just getting one and just having it there. I mean, it's probably cheaper than buying an Eliminator thing, you know, the old cigarette lighter thing. That those are still available as well, but it's also cheaper than putting that little drop-in box charger thing. Not a converter comp, but, you know, the little square thing that you can drop your radio in for an XPR framed radio, and it fits in there kind of nicely as well. But for a little bit of I'm just looking at options and thinking about maybe just picking one up and getting a new cord and so on and so forth. So, yeah, those are options as well. I mean, look, I mean, Bofang put a USB charger on those, what are they, DM32s that everybody's buying up, and I think you have one too. So do you have a USB cord for your DM32? Back to you, sir, W8RCY. Well, I got USB-C cords all over the damn place, so it's easy to charge, and that has been convenient for that particular radio. It's any other radio that has that charging function. So, yep. You know, there's a lot of, you got to weigh a lot of things when you're looking at Motorola versus aftermarket versus, you know, some other radio company. You know, it's kind of like ham radio. Well, not really. I was going to say it's like the big three versus, you know, versus like Bofang. There's just a worldly difference in quality and, okay, come on. What is going on here? 32 miles an hour on Grossbeck. God almighty. I haven't been watching the news this morning or seeing any traffic reports, so I can't help you there. And like I said, I've already been in the shower, which is rare. Usually get in the shower until I'm done talking to you guys. It's okay. There's nothing on my schedule today, so I'm kind of like just winging it for sure. But I mean, like I said, as much research as I do and I look at this stuff and, you know, I'm trying to stay in my lane with Motorola's and not drift around. The Bofang incident with that microphone that I bought and just the way Bofang talked to me, I just, you know, like I said, the only reason why I got the radio that I have, the Bofang, is because Mikey from the Troy Repeater got me that as a gag gift, and I've beefed it up a little bit with a bigger battery pack and a shorter antenna, and then again, I invested $20 in this microphone, and it just died on the 36th day, and I couldn't return it. With Bofang about it, and then I said, you know, if you read the reviews that Amazon's showing, this thing's a piece of crap. There's a design flaw in it, and they wouldn't do anything for me. No, I never really asked for the money because I'm not worried about $20. $20 is a pizza, and I can sometimes do with one less pizza. But you get my point, and if Bofang's like that, and I go to another company that treats me the same way, I'm done with you. I don't care if it's, you know, ICOM or Tate or anybody else. You know, you screw me like that, I'm done with you. So I'll stay in my lane with Motorola. I'm very, very happy with them.
You know, that's the problem with a lot of the cheap Chinese stuff. You know, you get it, but, you know, it's like spinning a roulette wheel, you know, as far as, you know, how long it's going to last, the support. You know, there's some great kit for the money coming out of China, but there's zero support. And, you know, I can't honestly tell you. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I can't honestly tell you it's not by design. Flood our market with absolutely dirt cheap stuff to the point where we no longer manufacture or do anything. And then we're helpless. You know, when our stuff breaks, got our hands out, like, you know, please. And it's like, they'll just like, nope. And we'll have nothing. We'll have nothing to fall back on. Is it some sort of warfare that they're playing the long game on? Who knows? W8 if you, I'm ordering my coffee.
W8RCY. But I mean, like I said, this UV5R, version 1, mind you, not a version 2, 3, or 4, or whatever version number they're on, the original one that Mike got for me as a gag gift, spent $15 on, that cheapskate, you know, by itself, the radio works fine. I actually have the Note on it, and I have the Warren FBI repeater on it. And to walk around the campus here and carry it with me, it's not as obvious as the Moto, and it fits in my pocket nicely, and I can, you know, walk around the campus and be able to use it. And I've used it from time to time, and it works just fine. But, you know, to invest in their equipment down the road like some people do and have, you know, 15 radios in their arsenal or 20 radios in their arsenal, or how these people today that are getting their license are buying these things, you know, whether it's a UV5R or a DM32, you know, it's just, no. I mean, I've stayed in my lane. I've stayed with Motorola. I've got experience with Motorola. And my radios are now 6 years old, 7 years old. Jeez, I've lost track of time. This is what happens when you get old. But, you know, they've just been reliable radios. And as you guys are now all getting 7550 HTs, I've had mine for 7 years. Come on, guys, catch up, kind of a thing. And I've also been on the Motorola Moto Turbo system for that long as well. So I don't know, but yeah, like you said, though, you got to do your research and you got to do your homework when you start looking at other features and options for these radios as they age out.
Give me 1 second.
All righty.
Chatty Barista. Look, I can't keep my thumb on this push to talk. The XPR 5550 mobile with the handheld control head. And it's just for some reason, the way it fits in my hand, my thumb doesn't get a good purchase on the push-to-talk, and constantly dropping push-to-talk. Anyhow, I don't know how it sounds on your end, but you probably notice it when I do it. I generally try to key right back up and keep going, but where were we?
Just mainly talking about aftermarket accessories and, you know, between the quality of, you know, the radios that we use versus what the cheap Chinese companies have. And, you know, and just to wrap up on my Bofang issue with that microphone was brand spanking new when it launched. And just had a nice design to it, kind of like the Moto HTs are, their microphones. And introductory price, $15, tax, shipping, all that, came to about $20. And, of course, you have 30 days, and on the 36th day, I was even talking to you guys on it, and I remember talking to Dakota, and he says, you're cutting out. And it was the regular push-to-talk on the side. It had a toggle switch on the top for high-low volume, which you could barely tell if there was any high-low. That was the first sign. And then it has a second button that looks like an orange panic button that you'd see on top of an HT. That's a secondary PTT button to use. That button still works, but the rest of the microphone is shot. It's got a nice sound. People hear me talk on it. They say it sounds good. But as the time went by and these people are writing back that it's junk, and everybody's got the same problem. The normal push-to-talk on the side fails, and the volume switch at the top doesn't do anything. And when you got like 30 people complaining about it, and I make copies of it, and I send it to Bofang, and I said, look, guys, you might have a design flaw here. And, I mean, again, $20, I'm not worried about $20, but, you know, you guys got to take a look at your stuff. And, nope, they wouldn't do anything for me, nothing at all. And I just said, okay, nope, I'm done with you. And that's part of the reason why I didn't get invest into a DM32.
Well, I certainly get it, but also I bought that thing because it was funny. It looked like an APX, and you know, whether I get any meaningful use out of it or not, you know, I wasn't really going to worry about it just because of the price, you know, $55. If that thing broke on me, you know, coming soon, I'd probably just kind of shrug. Say, okay, well, that was an interesting experiment. Junk. But it seems to just march along. So, go
figure. But I don't take it seriously. But it works. I mean, I've grabbed it and used it. I would never, if I was going to any kind of an event or anything, or yeah, I would never choose that. But I don't think there'd be any reason why it wouldn't work. But I wouldn't grab my XPR or my APX, depending on what I needed, or my tape, if I get my tape. So we'll see. Well, I'm pulling in the parking lot here. I may have room for one more, but if not.
Yeah, sometimes a radio like that would be better off to carry something that if something does happen, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, Motorolas do have a tendency to draw attention, and people see a Motorola, they see a rubber ducky, and the next thing you know, they think you're in some form of security or law enforcement. So even when I walk around with my whoops on, whoops off, it's not as attentive looking. And I will let you gently land the plane, and I hope there's a place for you to land the plane and not your parking spaces are occupied. And I will hook up with you soon to get those batteries. They're already boxed up, and like I said, they're wrapped in bubble wrap, so none of the contacts touch. I just got to get the box to you. And something will work out somehow, some way. Maybe Crave will open up pretty soon, and we can do breakfast that way. All right. Again, thank you for your help with that. You have a great day. I guess it's not going to rain till tonight, so all the best to you. Land the plane safely, and we'll catch up with you later. W8RCY.
All right, here, W8FU. W8FU.
Back on the road. You just forgot to get a bagel this morning or a pastry with your coffee. W8RCY.
No, I gotta take my car to the motor pool, and we have this automatic gas fueling system. You pop the hose in, and it registers the car number and the mileage, and then unlocks the pump and lets you start fueling. And apparently they've been having all sorts of trouble with it, so they've been slowly calling all the cars in to pull the part that registers the mileage. So now you go in there and you pop it in there, it still automatically unlocks the pump if it's the proper car, but you know, if it's an authorized vehicle, but you got to key in the mileage by hand, which sucks, but they've ordered me in for removal.
But when you phrase that, and this, you know, being a retirement year, they ordered you in for removal, or did they order your car in for removal? That didn't come out right.
Yeah. Anyhow, who else was in there?
ACAKJO.
Good morning, T-Com. Terrific. Yeah, I got to take my car and get the, I forget what they called it, the data scan or something. I don't know what they call it. I got to get it removed because apparently it's not working for a lot of people, so they can't get gas at all. And so basically they're pulling it for everybody. What's up with you, Tom? And then hand it over to Donald.
No, doing a computer install or a system install in Wickham today, and hopefully that shouldn't take too long. It should be pretty cut and dry, but knowing my luck, it never is. Good morning, Donald.
I'm having a dyslexic moment. If I pick up my cell phone instead of my radio one more time to talk to you guys, I am going to get myself checked in and maybe removed or get a part checked. That's like second time this morning I've done that, and I've been doing it a lot lately. Other than that, Tom, yeah, well, today's Wednesday, so you're not going out too far. If it rains this afternoon, you should be home by then, by the way these storms are talking. But for you, both of you gentlemen, looking at the radar, we're not going to have anything that severe. We're just going to have a steady rain. All the rain is going to be right along the Toledo to Chicago borderline, a little bit into Michigan, but it's like a line of just red. No orange, no other lightning bolt, just bright red down there. So, yeah, we'll start seeing rain this afternoon, late this afternoon. Over to Sean.
Yeah, I heard a little hubbub there. There might be some stuff blowing in. So, yeehaw, right now I can see pretty well to the southwest. Looks like a lot of gray clouds, but nothing ominous yet. So, that's okay. My grass is not terrible. I can still get by, and we could still use rain. Although I got a pretty muddy mess at the base of my driveway. John stopped by yesterday, and I had my cars down the driveway a little bit, so I was worried he was gonna get wet and puddle at the end of my driveway.
Well, yesterday wasn't too bad down here, but I was coming in from Midland Bay City, and I got hammered on the freeway. I'm talking about heavy rain and hail. And it was big hail, but it was soft hail because when it hit my windshield, it was just breaking up. But sometimes I couldn't see more than, you know, a quarter mile ahead of me or an eighth mile. So it was brutal. And then it went away.
Well, we should start seeing rain here. Let's just say east of I-75, because that's the closest thing to me here. Around 2 o'clock, the light rain should start falling, and then it just goes all the way through to midnight. And all it is just green and a couple shades of dark green. And what I'm seeing on the map so far, no lightning, no funny colors, except for that red zone that I mentioned from Chicago to Toledo along the borderline. And everything points south. I mean, almost down to Kentucky, there's just this little wall that comes through. But nothing here is severe in Michigan that I'm seeing so far. So everybody should be home by the time it gets a little bit in the darker green area. Just steady rain. And there's a flood watch until 4 o'clock tomorrow morning as well. National Weather Service is saying there's a flood watch until 4 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Well, I don't know. I'm more of a as it's happening kind of guy. I don't generally, although I've been, you know, because of the Skywarn stuff and everything like that, I've been kind of privy to things that are coming. But, I go out and I say, oh, I need a jacket. Oh, I need a raincoat. I don't generally plan ahead. Sometimes to my, you know, to my, I don't know, chagrin? I don't know. Taking an alternate route here. See, Grosbeck, take this little side street over to Little Mac. Take Little Mac down to 15. Yeah. There we go.
Oh, you're by my old high school right there. Little Mac and 15. I graduated.
I went to Baker there for a couple of years in the 90s to get, further my education. I don't even know if Baker's still there or not. I think it's pulled out. But I don't even know if Baker's even in Michigan anymore. I haven't seen anything or heard anything about it. But yeah, I know the area well. Plus, I had in-laws that lived just back behind the old, well, not the old, it's still there, the strip mall, where Montgomery Ward's was. You can see it from their backyard. Now I think it's where the Lowe's sits. So, yeah, I'm familiar with the area. Plus, there's a good diner there, Rose's Kitchen. I think it's Rose's or Roseanne's Kitchen, somewhere just west of Gratiot, between Gratiot and Little Mac.
Clintondale. I just passed it. Just turned on the 15. What is that? Is that a snake or a dragon? What is that thing in the logo? And I see it's like bent into a C. Couldn't tell what, dragons, snakes? Got some sort of Asian looking kind of Book of Kells looking kind of thing. And speaking of Roseanne's, there's Roseanne's. I've got to go to the road commission just the other side of Gratiot, almost the Harper. That's where I'm on my way to dump.
Clintonville Dragon. Graduated in 87. Roseanne's Kitchen's been there since I was in high school. And for Baker College, used to be, Don, was Little Mac Elementary. And then where the Sunoco's at 15 Gratiot was McGlennon Elementary. McGlennon or Santilli, one of the two. So, yeah. I used to walk home from school. I lived right down there at 15 Gratiot by what used to be the Tropicana restaurant. And the regional shopping center, yeah, Carnival Toys, Montgomery Ward's, Kroger, Chatham, Gary Automotive, all that stuff. It lives right there. All right, I got a phone call. I'll be back, guys. Thank you.
I do remember the elementary school at 15 Gratiot on the northeast corner where ABC Warehouse sits, and I think it was Santilli or something like that. And Sean, as you get you approach your destination there, don't forget to wave hello and salute one of your towers right there, just a little bit beyond that. So I take it you're about there, and you're about to land the plane again.
Yeah, I'm a couple hundred yards from the tower. I'm going to stop and tank up while I don't have to enter the odometer one last time. Then I'm going to shoot across the parking lot and have them deal with that.
All right. I'll catch you later.
W8FU.
Okie dokie. You know, hope everything goes smoothly for you. You're not tied up with something saying, oh, this isn't right, this isn't right, this is going to take a while. A little bit longer than we expected, so all the best there. Tom, we'll be listening while you take your phone call. W8RCY.
Well, that sucks.
You got there, and I take it maybe they didn't have the parts to do it, but they scheduled you for it. I don't know what to say. I mean, that's just ejecting sound. It's just a dejected sound you made.
Well, I'm kind of bummed they're removing this because now I've got to go through all this extra BS and the scat bumps. And, you know, when it's nice out, it's not so big a deal. But, you know, in the crappy weather, it's nice to just stick it in there and start pumping. And now I got this extra stuff. I got to sit there and wait until it gives me the indication that I got to enter. I got to remember the mileage and go enter it, you know. And it's just all this extra rigmarole. No big deal, but so I get in there and I pull it in, and you know, they just leave me sitting there, you know, and I'm kind of like, finally, I call them. I says, you know, like, I'm sitting here, but just like you told me, but nobody, you know, where am I supposed to go? Everybody's giving me the evil eye back here. Oh, haha, and you know, they send somebody back. So the guy, so he goes, so you having problems with it? I said, no. He goes, well, then why are we taking it out? I go, I don't know. You sent me an email saying I have to have it removed. I don't want to remove it. He goes, oh, well, he goes, I guess I saw the email, too. All right, I guess we'll just, you know, so it's like, so what, you're leaving them in cars that aren't having problems? So I'm like, whatever, just take it out. I never had a single lick of problem with it. Every single time I pulled up to the pump, I just put the pump in, I wait for it to click, and I fill up, and then I hang the pump and leave. And I never once had a single problem. They pulled that out, so now I got to go through the extra stuff. Whatever.
Yeah, that would be frustrating for sure, but it sounds like, well, if mine's not broke, why are we trying to fix it by taking it out? Kind of a scenario is how I would judge that to be. And yes, that would be extremely frustrating because you went out there, you're spending, what, maybe a total of about an hour of your day when you could be doing something more important, like looking at cat videos. I don't know, but yeah, I can understand the frustration of it.
Yeah, well, I'm not too worried about the time or anything. It's just that why pull out a perfectly functional thing that, you know, that just makes my life easier. You know, just to make it less convenient, whatever. It's really, in the grand scheme of things, not a big deal, but sad scratcher, especially since they ordered me in, and I was like, damn it. And then they said, why'd you come in? Like, I didn't.
Well, it's not like, you know, your company car versus the fleet of cars that, you know, the county has, especially for, you know, that line of work, where the gas tanks are getting filled almost at every shift, those little devices or mechanisms get hit every time. You think the probability of failure would happen more. I mean, you probably put gas in every 3 or 4 days. Versus them every shift 3 times a day, yeah, I could see a mechanical failure there, so they decide, you know, they bring everybody in. But, again, like I say, yours isn't broke, so why go ahead and fix it? It's just the theory, I guess, behind their way of thinking of, well, they're either all not working, or we're going to take them all out, or replace them with new units, or whatever. So, yeah. I don't understand the full story, but I can see the problem. It reminds me of the days of those having to go in and get your exhaust, those exhaust sensor things from the 70s, late 70s or something like that. You had to get that to get your license plate tabs.
Yeah, the emission testing for a little while there they were doing. Yeah. I think I only had to have that done once or twice. Maybe once, so must have been at the tail end of it.
I remember it being in the late 70s, early 80s, about the time I got married. And soon after I got married, we didn't have to do it anymore. But I had to do it with 2 cars, my 76 Camaro and my 1980 Pontiac Grand Am. And you had to go to the local gas station, the Shell station at 11 and Harper, where Xfinity sits now. Or the Midas Muffler Shop, 12 and Harper, which I think is still there, were the places I used to go to get those emissions tests done. So it was for a span of years, maybe 4 or 5 years that ran, and did it probably a total of, I remember at least 4 times of having to do it. But yeah, thank God that's over with. I understand down in Georgia they're still doing it down there, because when I'm, you know, people that I know down in Georgia for racing radios, diversified electronics and stuff, they talk about it and they go, yeah, I got to go take my car in this afternoon to get the tabs done. So I hear that from all the guys down there for sure.
Yeah, well, that certainly wasn't any fun. And then there was always a shop that would pick you up, wink, wink. So I don't know how effective it is to people that have cars that are right as rain, you know, all pay to have it done, and they come out fine to people that have bypass catalytic converters and other various things that don't pass. They go to the, you know, Shady Mick tester, and they get a wink, wink. So it's all horse crap.
I wonder how many service stations, automotive repair shops and things like that that had to buy that unit now have them sitting in their backyard as rusted out planters or something, or garden, you know, like garden gnomes or something sitting there in their backyards. And I don't even remember. I used to know how much those units cost, and after so many years they just, you know, the thing went away, and these places have these machines now, and they're nothing. They can't do anything with them.
mothball them or turn them into a garden planter.
Hey, it's a good time, Jeff, not to change the subject, but it's a good time for BJ's. It's always a good time for BJ's, but their line at the gas pumps are pretty sparse here at the BJ's at 659 and 94. And yes, I'm aware of the double entendre.
Yeah, I don't know about these gas places, you know, for Myers or Sam's Club or Costco or BJ's. I don't know how those work. Jo doesn't use them. She's either at Sheets. Well, she's using Sheets now more often, but for as long as she's been out that way, Speedway was her place to go to and everything else. But so how these warehouse club type pump stations work and all that, I have no idea. And like I say, gassing up Joe's vehicle for her when I do it, we just go to Speedway or Sheets, and she's happy with those. So don't know how that works, but yeah. Back to you, sir.
This will be my last as I'm pulling up to the dealership here at Hall and Gratiot. But, I had Sam's for the longest time and then BJ's for a while, and I would use their gas. But I always hated going to their stations because the lines were always horribly long, and it's just, God, I hated it. But I do BP now. Using their credit card, you get prices that pretty much match the best of those. But I got to pull into the service entrance here at Russ Milne Ford, so I want to clear before I get underneath their awning. Yeah, I'll listen out. W8FU.
Well, it sounds like you're getting full service then on the vehicle if you're stopping off at the dealership to get something looked at or worked on today as well, so it's not just the wasted trip out there to the county road commission site. So that sounds productive and positive. All right, well, enjoy your time there. Get something nice out of the vending machine, or if they have a coffee house there, like most fancy dealerships have now, and let you, relax for a little bit. Have a good one. We'll be around listening. W8RCY.
W8DD is mobile.
W8VD mobile. Does that mean I need to warn the authorities that you are on the loose? Good morning, W8RCY.
Hello, you need to warn all the aggressive drivers that drive behind me because I drive like a grandpa sometimes. They tailgate me thinking that's going to make me go faster. But all it really does is make me go slower. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning to you, sir. Yeah. Just got off of the QSO with Sean. Sean's back on the road taking care of some maintenance on his vehicle for work. And, he's on, I think, his second stop before he goes back. But anyhow, yeah, so I'm just sitting here just listening. Wednesdays I have nothing to do but nothing, really. So I'm just chillaxing today and enjoying the weather before the rain comes this afternoon.
Yeah, all the weather people are saying is supposed to get exciting this afternoon. Hopefully I'll be fucked out by then. Probably should put my seatbelt on. We're heading up towards Traverse City till Monday. Making a little vacation out of it. Got a wedding to go to up there, but we figured we'd go there early and leave late.
If I heard you correctly, you say you're heading up there now? If so, safe travels to you both, and enjoy your way from here and the monotony of it all, and hope you don't play too much radio and get to enjoy the Traverse City fair stuff that's out there to enjoy for sure.
No, we're not going to leave until about noon.
I'm heading towards the dentist right now to get my teeth cleaned. And what else? Well, then what can they leave around noon? Get up there. Still have some packing to do. Still bring the bike. Got to get them on the trailer. Except that. But, yeah. That's my rest of my week. So, hopefully you guys don't get weather too sick.
Okie dokie then. I will let you get all your last minute things put together and buttoned up, loaded up on the trailer, packed, and don't forget to bring Marion. You know, don't forget her. But, you know, you're so focused on everything else, don't forget the little lady for sure. Safe travels, enjoy, and we'll catch you down the road. Have a great one, W8RCY.
Talking to you. I could be on the road for about another 5 minutes. Have a good evening.
P-A-P-R.
WACD, layer of the dentist.
KE8WUO, N8WRO.
Can you hear me now?
KE8WUO. Oh, yeah, you're coming in fine, John. No voter here to check, but, you're on the warrant, of course, for now. Go ahead, try it again.
All right. Yeah, I just passed Hall Road, so Hall Road and Shaner, and about 3 miles I'll be at work, so still getting further north, but, hopefully I still sound all right. And then while I'm up here, I'm not sure if Richmond would be better than Warren or not, but once I get to work, maybe we'll try the MAC one more time, and then we'll try the Richmond just for chagrin.
Yeah, it sounds like a good plan. Just a very good readable signal. But there's a little popcorn in the background on the Warren.
All right, yeah, I guess that's probably to be expected. Sort of not, but what are you going to do? You know, it's what, I don't think I can change anything. So I guess I could. I could get a VHF while we're on UHF now. So I guess I could... split the antennas into, I have like a diplexer that I could split, instead of using a tri-band antenna, I could do VHF antenna, a UHF antenna, and then like a receive antenna for 700-800, but I don't think I'll really be using that, overall, I'm able to carry on the conversation mostly all the way to work now. Without making people suffer, so that's good.
N8WRO, yes, I'm sure that was your goal, and you're doing it. So, kudos for that. You can't get a better radio, of course. In any event, I forgot. You told me what you running for an antenna again right now.
It's a Motorola tri-band. The model number is about like maybe 8 to 11 random digits. So it's a little bit hard to remember. It's it's a tri-band Motorola antenna. It ends in a 2, which I, as I understand, is the newer variant. There is another variant that ends in a 1 that has a, you know, a coil, a spring on it. The spring on the dash 1 is a smaller, but the spring on the dash 2 is quite a bit larger. It's a pretty short antenna. I took off the 2x4 Comet antenna that I had, and this tri-bander is probably, you know, maybe 18 to 24 inches tall. So it's still pretty tall, but it is shorter than the big Comet 2x4, and that was just VHF, UHF. So I think the coil works pretty well for shortening it. But I think VHF suffers a little bit as a tri-band, and having a VHF specific would be better. I will send it back to you before I time out the repeater. AEAWUL.
Oh, you've never done that before, John. So, yeah, okay, sounds good. I forget, do you garage your vehicles, or are you going under, you know, a garage and having the spring do its work, or you just leave it outside anyway, so you're not actually, you know, like, how can I say, exercising that spring, because that's what I do every time I put it in the garage, slowly back in, and it, you know, boings, it's only touching, like, you know, the really tip of the antenna, so it seems to work. I don't have to, and of course, mine's mag mount. You have NMO built in, so you got that going for you as well.
Yeah, so I do not garage it. It sits in my driveway overnight, so we got too much other stuff in the garage. Especially in the summer, we like to drive the vehicles more in the winter. But in the summer, we just leave it out for the summer. But I am pulling into my work now. I'm going to back into my normal parking spot. So if you can still hear me now, I'm probably doing pretty good. Although my normal parking spot is occupied, I have to find somewhere else to park.
Alrighty. Copy your last there. Shelby Township into the system, and I'm reading you over here in Richmond. Your radio's doing its work. The repeater's doing its work. You got a little popcorn there, but I'll cut you loose from the mobile, and you can catch me in a little bit. We can do the Mecca if you like. November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. I'll listen out.
Okay, yeah, so I am in a spot now, and so hopefully I sound maybe net-worthy. You'll have to let me know. And then, yeah, if you wouldn't mind jumping over to the Mecca real quick, and we'll try it there, and then we'll return the repeaters to normal amateur use.
Oh, no, that's funny. NAWRO, that last you did, it was really good, better than the previous. QSY over to 147.2. NAWRO will be clear.
All righty, KEAWUO, QSY.
KEAKKO.
Hey, real quick, how are you doing, WAVD?
Thought you were heading up north.
I'm going to leave about noon. We're still packing.
All right, well, how long are you going to be gone for?
We'll be back Monday afternoon, Monday evening late.
You have a place up there, or just rent a place? sounds good. It's been a while since I've been up there. Yeah, we had a friend who lives in Petoskey, so he's going to be in that area usually at least once a year, but not since he passed.
Well, I can tell you this, it's got crazy expensive. So a lot of out-of-state money has moved in, bought up all the housing, the hotel, everything else like that. It's just as expensive to go there as it is to go to the Keys.
Yeah, I've heard that. A lot of Chicago money has moved into the area.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, folks. I got to step out. I'm getting books. Still got to get ready. So I'm getting close. Got to find some more pants. I'll talk to you later. WAB.
Yeah, and like I said, your tuning job is pretty good. Except the only tweaking is maybe a little bit, you know, the peak was a little bit off frequency. That's all I looked at so far.
Yeah, and I know why. I think I told you I had crappy cables. As we moved the cables would change frequencies, you know, 600-700 hertz, and that was a lot. So I bought better cables. So when you get it back, when I get back, I'm going to check it. I'm not going to change anything. God knows I can't compete against the service monitor. But I want to see how accurate the Nano is.
All right. I know that you make a spec analyzer version of that. Which I know people said it's not the best.
Well, you know, if it's got a fixed error in it, and you know what the error is, so let's say you compare it to yours and Sean's and everybody else's, and if the error is, let's say, 600 hertz, you know, then you just automatically figure that in, okay, as long as the error is consistent all the way up the range. So, all right, I got to step out. I got so much stuff to do yet. I'll talk to you later. WAB. Thank you.
All right, enjoy your vacation.
Good afternoon, this is Tim, 88JL, doing some errands. No throw calls out there. Hope you're having a good day, 88JL.
W8RJD Mobile.
W8VD is mobile, finally.
Was that that you couldn't get out of the house, or was there something wrong with the car?
More stuff to do than we thought.
Audible to bring the Dragon and getting in the car. 88 jail.
WAB.
W8RJD Mobile.
Station calling here, Kilo Bravo 8 Whiskey Tango Alpha. Didn't get your call, quite the call.
Oh, good afternoon. Name here is Brad, Bravo Romeo Alpha Delta. I am currently located downtown Detroit. Kilo Echo 8, 15 November Victor.
Okay, Brad, Kilo Echo 8 Whiskey. Victor. The downtown Detroit. I'm in the 8 Mile and Kelly area. I got dead in South Pacific, which is pleasant to me, because I think you're the other side downtown, isn't it?
I'm not sure if there is one downtown. I'm coming through the Warren repeater, and the call sign was Whiskey November Victor. Whiskey November Victor for the Suffolk there. Back over to you.
Okay, well, I'm just enjoying a good stogie. And back up some errands. I thought it was going to rain sooner, so I guess maybe it's going to bypass this year, hopefully. Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully it's not raining when I leave work for the day to go home, because no AC in the car makes it rough when it's raining and you can't have the windows down. But a nice cool day like today is not as bad. But yeah, I thought it was supposed to get rain too, and it hasn't yet, so enjoying some time outside before I have to go back up to work here. Back over to you.
You must have moved or something, because now you're 100%.
Yeah, I noticed there was a little bit of buzz in the repeater, so I walked over to a different location to try to improve the signal there. So I did move locations here. Back over to you.
What type of AC are you using? I'm using a CGUE9B. Outside with an Agoya antenna on there.
I am on the Yaesu FC-70D with the stock antenna on it here. Typically only really use it at a hotspot at my house for YSF, but figure I have it, might as well use it for local repeaters too while I'm out and about. Back over to you.
Yeah, okay, I had thought about that HP, but I think I'm going to end up getting that MR ball thing. I have a G5R ball thing out there for some time, and I haven't used it in a while, but I really want to get back into the MR. I do have fusion radios. I have the Yaesu 500 2D or 440 mobile, and I have the Yaesu FT991 Alpha. Actually, this is my second 991. And the first one wasn't an Alpha.
Yeah, you know, when I got this radio, when I got it in the mail and went to go start programming it, I found this is an excellent little radio. You can do all the programming you need from the keypad on the radio without having to hook up to a computer ever, which is really nice. And then my other Yaesu is the 891, and that's mounted in the car with the ATAX 120 antenna, which is super nice together. I switch bands, push the ATAX button on the face of the radio, and it does its thing and adjust the antenna to be on the frequency that I have set it to, which is really nice. But yeah, Yaesu does make some very fine radios here. Back over to you.
Well, traditionally, my little 30-year entertainment, I've been a Yaesu person. Before that, I was a Yaesu and standard person. But as I've mentioned before on this repeater, and some of the people remember, they were very expensive. So Michigan Radio used to let me put payments on my HT. Believe it or not. Back to you, KVAWTX.
I don't think I've ever heard of Michigan Radio, but I've only been licensed for 3 years here. So yeah, you know, I'm a whatever radio I can afford at the time that's going to do the job for me type of guy. I am not loyal to a specific brand. If it's a decent radio and it works and I can afford it, then that's what I'm going to go with. But Hey, good meeting you here, but I'm going to have to get back up to work here. My break is over. 7-3, and thanks for the quick QSO here. But we'll be clear on your final here. This is KZ8WNV.
Okay, hopefully we'll get a chance to chat again. 7-3 for now, Kilo Bravo 8, Whiskey Tango Alpha. Sure.
Well, Tom, how's it going?
Well, just finishing up the day in Stinky Harrison Township.
All right, sounds good. You knock off at 3 o'clock? That's good.
Yeah, something like that. I'm going to stop by the bank real quick, and then co-worker's got to go pick up his mower blades up on 23 Mile Road in Macomb.
All right, well, I just come back from lunch on the east side, trying to avoid all the detours.
Good luck. Where'd you go, Pontiac?
No, that's where we live near. So I'm going to head back to, you know, we were on Jefferson and Kenmel. It's all torn up.
Oh, I haven't been down there for a while, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, they're trying to get home. They got the ramps from westbound 696 to northbound 75 closed off too, so you have to go through them down 11 mile as long as everybody else.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I don't think there isn't a road on Michigan right now that doesn't have construction in one way or another.
Yeah. You got to strike when the iron's hot and the money's available, they got to do it.
Yeah, it's come a while to get it, but at least they got it. Now they're doing something with it.
It's just the planning seems to be off. You know, it's like, why do they do this when this is something else is going on? You know? But, because it just makes it worse.
That's one thing about planning, you know. You try to do it one way, and then all of a sudden something gets thrown on your plate that kind of pushes other stuff aside. So, I get it. It happens to me all the time.
So, where did your travels take you today? Were you all over the place, or were you pretty much in one spot?
Wixom, then Livonia, then Harrison Township.
Yeah, it's a bit of driving. So, all right. So, let's see, Father's Day's coming up. Any big plans? I'm going to the Monroe Swap myself. We'll get some stuff to sell.
Not much, really. My daughter's going to UT, to Copper Harbor. This weekend with her boyfriend, so they're doing that, and then my son and his girlfriend, they're coming over to the house on Sunday, so I go grab a bite somewhere, see how it goes.
Yeah, neither of our kids are in town, so none of that going on, so really, and we don't have any fathers of our own left, so it's kind of a non-event.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it's just my wife and I, you know, for Father's Day and Mother's Day. Are you going to turn? Jeez. Get in my way to turn, and then you turn where I don't need it to turn. Yeah, my father passed away. My father-in-law is gone. My mother passed away. Wife's mother just passed away
because you're getting a little noisy there, so. All right, I'm going to let you go. I'll talk to you later. Getting on the expressway here, finally. KCKGO, KPR. Have a great day.
All right, drive safe, sir. It's getting kind of wet slick out here, so. I'll talk to you this 73, KPR, KCKGO. W8BD, KCKGO.
Enough today.
Terrible.
So I'm just going to give other people a chance to talk to you. And yes, your signal is a quite a little bit on the rough side. Good afternoon, W8RCY.
Good afternoon. There was a double in there. I think I heard WY8M. W8RCY. So I am running my 8000 ATX and its mobile converter. So this is always a tricky area up here. I'll be good in a couple of miles. So thanks for the check. I just wanted to make sure it was working.
This is W8RCY, the other station that I doubled with. Go ahead, sir.
I'll just tell Sean the same thing you just did, and Sean, sounds like your signal's already getting better. All right, guys, carry on. W8M.
Yep, that stretch from my shop to 16 and Grossbeck is always a little tricky. So for the handheld Converticom, I'm sure it's bad. But I'm at 16 and Grossbeck now. It should be good from here on out. Donald?
I concur with, I believe that's RPAD's call sign. Yeah, you are much, much better. So, yeah, you're out of the rough spots for sure. And should have smooth sailing. No sign of rain yet. I just looked out towards Southfield and the skies are just gray. Not a lot of darkness. Yep, should be a nice smooth ride home.
There you go. Yeah, I took my car into the Ford dealer to have a look at the AM/FM radio. It's all boogered up and you can't do a lot of things if you got a set through the radio, so plus I need it for hands-free for when I'm driving, like I do a lot of driving and stuff for work and can't be doing the distracted driving thing, so Bluetoothing it into the radio system helps me avoid that, but they didn't finish it, so I had to grab another vehicle, so I'm in what we call the Blue Beast. Got a Converticom in it though for my 8K, so it's all good.
I won't tell anybody, but I do remember you brought the Blue Beast by once, so I have seen it, but I won't say I acknowledge its existence. Kind of a thing.
How's the audio? Does it sound different? This is a whole different setup.
You're definitely sounding different, and you're definitely, I mean, I know you're not on your, one of your two little Ford vehicles, so I know you're on something totally different, but yeah, it's a little rough. I think you hit a rough spot again somewhere. Because you were fine there when you got out of it, and now you're back, like, in a rough area.
I had to check the radio to make sure it was low power, but I'm rolling again, so I should be fine. It'll be getting better. Anywho, so I just sometimes these things have a reputation for sounding really poor, the audio quality. So not the signal strength, but the audio quality. So I was just curious how bad it was.
Some popcorn, some bacon, but you're readable. I understood everything you said, and but yeah, you're doing fine. You're getting better for sure.
Hey, R Badge, you still listening? Looking for the R. Not the S.
Hey, you know me. I'm always working. You sound a little tinnier than usual. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought. But anything that requires attention.
You're still a bit scratchy, so I didn't fully catch that. But otherwise, you're like, I forgot your name. I'm sorry. Like you said, you're completely readable when you're not scratchy.
All right. Okay, I'm a skinny. That's what I was looking for. That's what I've heard. That confirms it.
Yeah, plenty loud, all that stuff, plenty clear just on the tinny side. RCY, go ahead, WYW.
Well, I'm talking on my Wooksan, Wooksoff radio, and the sound quality out of it is not as good as my Moto's, obviously. So it's hard for me to, I mean, as you guys were talking about the tinny sound, Yeah, I'd have to really listen hard and turn the volume up to hear it. That's why I didn't say anything about that portion of your conversation, Sean. But, I have a lot of flexibility to that kind of stuff. And as long as I can read you through anything and make the gist of it, I usually don't say much unless it's really, really bad.
All right, yeah, but that's what I was looking for. I think I said my quality, not my signal. I think I said it several times, and I kept getting signal reports, and I'm like, I don't want a signal report. So at that point, would have been a good time to just say, oh, yeah, I don't hear you well enough to critique, or I don't trust this setup enough to critique. So I was purely looking for an R, the readability, you know, or audio even. So that's all. I just... You kept giving me a signal report. I get that. That's going to be bad because I'm running, you know, 4 watts and that. So no big deal. And I got the answer I was expecting.
Yeah, for what it's worth, RCY sounds better than you do from an audio quality point of view. RCY, what was your name again? I forgot, I'm sorry.
Donald Lycan Duck.
Gotcha. I know I hear you out here every day. Why I can't remember that stuff, I don't know. I think it's just part of getting older. I'm so bad with names anymore. Go ahead, Donald, W. Whittem.
Sometimes I have short-term memory loss. I've had 4 major concussions in my lifetime, and I'm getting up there in the senior years myself. But I don't keep a logbook because I'm not that kind of a ham operator, and I've only had my license for 22 months. But I have a spreadsheet type of a thing, and it's got like 1,230-plus names on it, and I can't remember everybody's name, call sign, or something like that. So it's like a reference. My spreadsheet's like a reference chart, and that's how I remember everybody.
Well, that's a very conscientious thing to do. Me, I just tend to forget all the time, and then I sound like an idiot. People I know I've talked to, and all of a sudden, if I don't talk to them, I'm pretty much on a regular, you know, I'll forget. And, you know, I wish sometimes I, you know, but then I'd have to bring it up, and
Oh, there's one of those new mail trucks. Those are the god-awful, goofiest looking things. Sure, they're practical.
Yeah. Old age thing is so much fun. Yeah, I was kind of doing the same thing with a pad of paper over here and just kind of, as I was hearing people jotting down calls and names so that I could glance at it really quick, you know, just the regulars here. I've been a ham almost as long as Sean, about a month or two shorter. And I've done a lot of logbook entries working DX. But not so much lately, especially since my antenna farm kind of got destroyed by an ice storm a few years ago, so I'm in, don't really have much to work with on HF right now, and I'm contemplating what I'm going to do. And it's already the middle of summer, and I'm still contemplating, so that's not real smart. Donald?
Well, when I retired to a senior campus in my upper 50s, and I've been here ever since for the last 12 years, and of course there's HOA and things like that, and I'm talking through a node right now, but yeah, I've got a few little things I can maybe get away with on the drawing board that I'll probably have up most likely next year. I'll probably have all the pieces by the end of this year, get it all, you know, scratched, put together, and then stick it out on my balcony. And my balcony's like 85 feet up in the air, and I can probably jack it up another 5 feet above ground level of that. Get close to 90. With a vista looking out towards the south, over to the west. So I can hit a lot of Detroit repeaters for sure. But, I just got an amateur license thanks to some of the former people like Professor Don, who passed away a couple years ago, things like that. They kind of convinced me. Sean kind of convinced me. But as far as a full, you know, HF, the HF setup. No, I just basically went into an extension of what I used in UHF. I've been on UHF since 78, it was. Now I'm losing my memory. Yeah, 78, I got my first GMRS license, and been using that and other UHF frequencies in a commercial application ever since. And, I mean, I'm glad I got my ham ticket. And, you know, I finally did it. It took me 50-plus years to do it, but, I did it, and I did it Professor Don passed away, but I promised him I'd do it, and I did it.
Yep, you did. So, got it before he left this earth, didn't you? No, you got it after, didn't you? I don't remember. 22 months, he's been gone, I think just over 2 years, right? Or has it been a year? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you got it. You tell me in the next go-around. I'm brain farting here. But, I think had we found GMRS back then, who knows if we'd have made the transition as quickly as we did. I'm glad we did. I didn't even know it was an option back then. I knew of it, but I didn't know it was really an option for this kind of operation. I don't think it was really used like you know, ham radio back then. Nowadays, they use like ham radio, which is kind of a peeve of mine, but it is what it is. But it is worthless anymore within the last year or two. So, but it would have been really good in the 90s, you know, in the early 2000s, that's for sure. WAFU,
ARP. Speaking of parking, I'm off to 10100, WNM. Go ahead, Donald.
Okay, don't let me keep you. safe travels on your way, and I'm not going to add anything else. Other than the fact that I got my license in August of 2024, that was my original call, with my original call sign. And then less than a month later, I got the vanity call sign. So August of 2024, and I think we lost Professor Dime in May of 2024.
Yeah, I thought that you got your license after Don had passed, but I wasn't sure because I knew it was right in there, right about the same time. So, God, over 2 years now. Jeez, oh, Pete.
Yeah, on that spreadsheet, I noted Don's passing with a little purple cross thing on there, and thing with Joe ZYQ who passed a couple months ago or whatever. So I got a few people on there that I've caught. I mean, there's others that I probably don't know of or anything like that. But yeah, that spreadsheet, which I think you still have, you and Phil both still should have access to it. It's called the list now. It's still there, and if you ever need to cross-reference in case you have a short-term memory loss, you should still have access to it. If not, I'll resend you the link.
I should find a way to put that into my iPhone, and then when if I say Surrey, who is W8RCY? Or call sign RCY, and then it could search the list, find that sequence, and say, oh, that's Donald, W8RCY. Then I could be driving along, and I could Surrey my way to not be embarrassed.
Yeah, that would be the next crazy thing that this thing could possibly do. But Surrey is, what, Apple-based, and we did all this on Android, but then again, it's just a... Actually, Google, excuse me, which is Android, and that's that kind of a spreadsheet. But yeah, that would be something that would be pretty cool if it's possible. The only thing I don't like with it is on my laptop or on a tablet, I can, cross-reference, because everything right now is in alphabetical name, first name of the person, Sean, Donald, Arpad, Tom, Dick, Harry, whatever. But if you wanted, you could put it in alphabetical order of the call sign. You could put it in alphabetical order. Well, it doesn't really work because you got GMRS, suffixes with numbers versus amateur that has letters. So I don't know how we do that, but either by call sign or by first name or others, I can flip that in a second and look and find somebody really quick. And I've done that with you because you've asked me about call signs in the past, especially with the GMRS issues. And I said, well, let me look it up. And I said, well, this is the closest thing I have with what you're giving me. And instead of going through 1,200-plus things, I just type in, like, WRC, and then it gives me WRCA through WRCZ, blah, 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 blah.
Come back. Well, I hope everything came out all right.
It certainly did, Stanley. Go ahead, Sean.
I think you said go ahead, Sean. So, anyhow, there you go. I'm on a morning schedule, so things happened much earlier for me. This is a borderline square count discussion. Donald?
Well, for me, I just go when the time is right. No morning, no afternoon, no midnights, whatever. It's like, okay, I'm on my way, heading over to that part of my little cubby hole in the sky. All right, we'll flip it over to Arpad and then back to Sean. We'll go in reverse. Oh, that didn't come out right.
Yeah, don't go in reverse. That'll plug you up. Boy, I haven't heard score count talk in a long time. That brings back 6505 memories. Anyway, I think you said, Donald, you lived in an assisted living facility, and you're up on a pretty high floor. At least that's good. That's easy altitude. That's super awesome for VHF, UHF. The tallest I ever got here, I had what I used to have here is an almost 50-foot aluminum mast with a big diamond X510 H&A antenna on the top of that. And then a pulley at the top with a 135-foot-long Carolina Wyndham. And also I had a Cushcraft R5 back when Cushcraft was actually Cushcraft. And the R5 was good for 10 through 20. And the R5 would tend to work better from about 10 to 15 maybe. And then after that, the Wyndham just screened everything else. John?
I was distracted during that last transmission. I'm trying to figure out, there's just a little drizzle, just enough where I got to get the windshield wipers kind of on a long delay, and I'm in a vehicle I'm not used to, and oh my God, this monstrosity on the, this cluster on the end of this, what is it, the turn signal for this vehicle I'm in. I'm like, what in the hell? I finally figured it out. It's got about six or seven different functions, you know, left turn, right turn, headlights, brights, flasher brights, windshield wiper, rear, front, delay. It's like, good grief. I need a tutorial on how to use that darn control. But I digress. Donald?
For me, as you know, Sean, I rent a car every so often, and when I get my vehicles from Enterprise, I sit in the parking lot for 5 minutes just to figure out how and where everything is on those stalks, the turn signals, the stalks, and everything else. And sometimes the Enterprise representative comes out, he goes, is everything okay? I said, yeah, I'm just monkeying around trying to figure out where everything is. So when I'm on the road and I need to grab a windshield wiper or something like that, or brights or daytime running lights or whatever these indicators are, I pretty much have gotten myself acclimated to the vehicle that I'm renting. And so I feel that, and especially with a vehicle you don't drive every day or you know, are used to every day. So I get that. All right, Pat?
Yeah, I can relate to that. I just got a new truck about a month and a half ago, and I'm still learning stuff about it. And they sure just put a lot of stuff on the steering wheels and stocks anymore. I just wish I had electric tilt. I've got all kinds of nifty doodads in my truck, but I still have this weird manual column tilt thing that I have to manually deploy a massive lever underneath the column that's actually fairly difficult to move. Surprisingly difficult, actually, compared to my last truck. But anyway, so far I'm loving that thing. Got a F-150 Lariat. Don't necessarily need a pickup truck, but I'm not a small guy, and I have trouble fitting into vehicles, mostly due to shoulder width. I run into a lot of problems hitting B-pillars on vehicles. I mean, I wanted to get a Durango, I couldn't fit in that thing. I even sat in a Ram, and I didn't fit in that thing. I'm still rubbing shoulders. I even tried a Grand Wagoneer. I don't know why they're making these driver's compartments so small, but the F-150's got plenty of room. Don't know what the dilly is, but at least they got it figured out. Sean?
Yeah, I noticed when I was looking for a car, I didn't have a lot of selection. It was kind of like during that car shortage period there, you know, coming off COVID, no car parts, and nobody had nothing, and I got the Escape. I like the car. It fits me pretty well, and for a lot of reasons, you know, I'm happy I got it, although I've been looking at something a little bit, you know, more upscale, but nothing really checks all the boxes like the Escape, so, you know, it's my picks are nits with the Escape, so I don't do nothing. And this is an Expedition. This is the big Ford SUV. Let's see, there's the Explorer. I think this is an Expedition. I don't know. I can't keep track of which one it is. It's the big SUV. It's a few years old. And yeah, there's a, you know, it's got all that stuff going on the turn signal stalk, and then the shifter has all this stuff that has to do with the trailer and the braking and all that stuff and the e-brake. And so it's got a tone button and stuff, so you're right. They put a lot of, you know, not to mention all the regular, you know, cruise control and stereo and all that crap on the steering wheel. It's crazy, man. But I don't know. You just gotta drive your car for a while, and then you get used to it, and then you're good for a few years until you get a new one. Ah, well. If I didn't have that to complain about, what would I complain about?
Ah, so this is a different beast, because I remember the beast you came out in was not a full-size SUV like the Expedition, which is their big model, biggest model they make. And I've driven, Joe's father's got a Yukon XL Denali fully loaded. He doesn't have the new Dark Edition or Midnight Edition, whatever it's called, which is a step up from the Denali. But he loves that, and he's a former Cadillac employee, and he likes the ride of the Denali better than he did the Escalades. So when he gets his, you know, vehicle every 2 years on the house, so to speak, or whatever his discount is, being a former employee, he gets the Denali. And then the other person I know who's got a big SUV, he's got the Suburban and an LT with all the bells and whistles in it. And both vehicles have that, you know, hands-off steering thing, which I don't trust when I do the driving on road trips. And, yeah, even those vehicles, I mean, the biggest vehicle I usually get from Enterprise would be an Explorer. And anything bigger than that, I just could not see myself in. So if I do break down, I am able to get a car, and doctors allow me to clear me to drive on a regular basis and drive great distances like everybody else does to and from work or whatever the case may be. I would probably go with a Ford Edge because I've rented a lot of Ford Edges, and I have a shoulder issue, wide shoulders, and an Edge fits me pretty well. So that would be that size of a vehicle, that choice. Arpad.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if I remember correctly, the Ford sales lady, I believe she mentioned that they're going to be discontinuing the Edge. I'm 99% sure of that. Also, when the next time it comes around, you have to let me know what your antenna plan. I know you said you're going to put something out on the balcony, but you never really said what exactly. So when it comes back around, you can let us know about that. And, Sean, I did actually try an Expedition before the F-150 just to check it out. And believe it or not, it was a little bit cramped for me. And once I got in the F-150, I was at home. It's just like there was so much room for me around the driver's compartment that it's what I had to go with. W-A-W-A.
Phone call dripping. Oh, wait. I think they hung up. Well, I know what you mean about this thing. It's I'm not nearly as big as you, and I feel a little pushed on the, on my knee and a little. Now they're calling my other phone. This has got to be important. W-A-W-A.
Well, if the Ford Edge is going to be discontinued, there's probably other vehicles out there. My girlfriend usually gets, she has a company vehicle, and she usually gets Grand Cherokees 90% of the time. Once in a while, she shakes it up. She did try a Volkswagen Atlas, and the thing about her is she's very petite, so she has to sit up on top of the steering wheel and put blocks of wood on the pedals so she could reach everything. Yeah, I know everything with the technology today. Full adjustments with the steering column, full adjustments with the pedals and everything like that. And that scares me, with her being so close to that airbag. That airbag is going to go in an accident. She's not going to get killed in the accident. She's going to get killed by the airbag. But she doesn't have a Napoleon complex or anything like that. She just needs the room. She has a full-size golden retriever who takes pretty much the back two rows out for himself, and she's just sitting there in the driver's seat, all just tucked in and belted in, and that's it. But she likes Grand Cherokees, and so do I, but I would consider one of those, not the big Wagoneer. She looked at a big Wagoneer, but that kind of scared her. That was kind of too big for her.
Okay, real quick, you want to tell me about the antenna?
Well, just as you said real quick, I said, oh, shucks, brain fart, here we go. I'm losing it. Yeah, it's going to be a simple mobile antenna on a surface plate that's specially designed ground plane that you can attach like on the ladder railing system to like a pickup truck. You know, they put those racks over the open bed. And my friends that I work with in racing came up with the idea instead of putting something more obvious than that, and I would just put up a 380 to 520 UHF 11-inch HMO antenna on that, and I would get 3 dB gain out of it, and just get the mount up above the height of the railing, because the railing, I think, is 4.5 feet, maybe 48 inches or so. No, that would be 4 feet, so it would be 56 inches above the ground of the balcony, and just clear that, tuck it in the, you know, I can't put it on the railing. They don't allow anything to be mounted on the railing, flagpoles, dish antennas for people that have dish network and stuff. So I would have to sit it back in a bucket of cement or in an umbrella-type base for, you know, backyard umbrellas, those things. And I've got it pretty much figured out. And I've got the whole napkin on a Sharpie drawing figured out and so on and so forth. But, yeah, I've had some minor financial issues this year, and so everything's on hold till next year. But, yeah, we'll get it up. But I'm doing okay with my HT and my node like I'm talking right now.
Okay, yeah, well, especially with the altitude, because VHF, UHF altitude is everything. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, put a rubber duck on that balcony and it's going to scream. Let's see if the foo is back. W-I-D-O-M.
Nope, doesn't sound like Mr. Foo is back, so, but, yeah, I was going to put a beam and point it right down Detroit's throat, but if you know where Oakland General Hospital is on Dequindre, I'm north of that, and between me and the hospital is a massive open field, and the trees are taller than both the hospital and my tower. My tower is 9 stories, and I'm on the 8th floor. So, yeah, but when I moved here 12 years ago, you could see the hospital, and you could see downtown Detroit. You could see the towers to the television towers out there in towards Southfield and everything else. Well, in 12 years, this thing called foliage happened, and now I can't see the hospital anymore. It's only about 600 feet south of me. I can't see the Detroit skyline anymore. It's gone. And I can barely see the towers of the radio and television stations up towards Southfield. So I've lost a lot of that. But this, I think, will do a really, really good job for me. Once I get it up and running, and it can be conspicuous where I can tug it in the corner or something and not have the one floor above me that can look down, because I have an open sky balcony. The 9th floor does not have a balcony, and I don't know if they'll say anything or not, but we'll see what happens next year.
Well, I don't see why anybody would. Unless you're just nosy nellies and just like getting people into trouble. But I mean, see how you could get in trouble if you're not attached, not physically attached to the railing or the balcony, then what can anybody say? So, I don't know. Well, the foliage to me is a plus part. Like, I'm looking out the window right now at a bunch of foliage, and it's, I'd rather look at that than the buildings. At least that's the way I would take it. Anyway, here, I don't really have much going on. I'm in a, oh, I know where you're at, by the way. I'm literally only 2 miles away from you. I'm by 12 and Mound here, southwest corner. But all I've got up is a diamond, a smallish diamond tri-bander, 2 meter 440, 1.2 gig, because I'm packing on a Kenwood 2000 here with the 1.2 module. And it's only up about 20 feet to the bottom. Then I have an absolute piece of garbage MFG Cushcraft HF antenna that was, I did not know was MFG at the time I purchased it. Absolutely crappy quality. to be a 6 or 20. It doesn't even work on 20. And it has the radiation property of a wet noodle. Anyway, let's see if the Foo is back. Foo from WY8M.
Uh-oh. It sounds big. He's not back yet. But, yeah, we are pretty close. And I can hit the, I mean, if I flip the radio off of the node and put it on 8 watts, this is an 8 watt HT, I can hit the FBI warm repeater quite well. I can also hit Detroit, which is 12.8 miles away on it, and I can hit Mount Clemens with a little bit of roughage because it's on the opposite side of the building. I'm on the south side of this campus, and I face, like I said, the hospital, and I'm about 600 feet north of the hospital, about 2 football fields. And nothing between us, it's just a mess of trees. I can't, like I said, in the wintertime you can see the entire hospital. I can see the entire Detroit skyline. You know, in the wintertime it's beautiful, it's wide open, but now with these trees coming up and all the rain we've had, my goodness. I took pictures 12 years ago when I moved here in 2013. November 2013, so yeah, it'll be 13 years this coming November that I've been here. You take a picture of the summertime in 2013 and you take a picture this year, 10 years later, it's night and day the amount of foliage that this thing has filled in. It is just unbelievable. And even if I was 10 feet higher on the ninth floor, I still don't think I would, you know, clear the trees. The trees are well over 100 feet in height, some of them, especially the ones that block my view of the hospital, which is nice because at night I don't see the parking lot lights or anything like that. The hospital lights are nothing. It's the parking lot lights and the helicopter helipad landing lights. Those are on all night long. They don't just turn them on or turn them off when helicopters come in.
Huh. Seems kind of like a waste, but whatever. It must be some kind of policy, I imagine. Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm familiar with the area there. I used to go bicycling over at... what's that park just to the west of you? Rosa Park, I think. And I've also been in the woods that is in between you and Rosa Park there. There's some trails in there. I've bicycled around in there a bit. Where I go through it and I pop out at the hospital parking lot. So, yep, familiar with the area. Yeah, you and I could do simplex real easy. All right, I'm going to go ahead and bail. I got a couple of things I got to do. I still got to run through the shower and then figure out what I'm doing for dinner. Nice chatting with you there, Donald. Catch you next time around. WY, hey, Doc.
Yes, likewise. We'll talk more. I'll give a chance to see if Sean's back so he can send 73s to you. So, Sean, are you back?
Yes, I just got back. I had a phone call. Somebody had some questions at work, and I had to make some phone calls and some other stuff. So I've lost track of the conversation because I was off elsewhere. But I did just walk in the door, so I will, unless something came up that required an answer, I'll probably check out.
Arpan, if you're still there, go ahead. Okay, he checked out as well. He had some things he had to do, and so he signed off. But we were listening for you. We gave you, you know, space to jump back in. And you have landed the plane. You are in the hangar, and I will let you take care of whatever things you have to tie up, loose ends with the phone calls and everything, and I'll let you take care of that. And say hello to the missus, because you got to do that too. So we'll be around. W8RCY, if I don't hear from you, have a nice, relaxing evening.
Okay, yeah. Let me get in and find out what's going on. All right. Catch you guys later. Thanks for the drive. W8FU.
Kilo, Foxtrot, 8, Golf, Golf, Alpha, checking in.
Kilo, Golf, 8, yeah, Foxtrot, Zulu, listening.
Hey, good afternoon. I just finished setting up a mobile rig in my work vehicle. How am I coming in?
Loud and clear.
Awesome. Appreciate the feedback. Thank you. WABPD.
Well, how you liking it, mister?
So far, I like. Still learning the way John set it up, but I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty busy. But I'm sure once you get used to it and you understand what all the, you know, all that's going on, perhaps it will then. But I noticed that it was quite busy.
Well, I got the idea of what he did, and then the naming is something that the way he named channels is something new to me, but. There again, sometimes what he has written isn't exactly clear, but the voice announcement clears it right up.
There you go. Yeah. So, very cool. I didn't have time to look at it. I don't know if you got my request. I want to get the copy of it so I can kind of look it over. But I just didn't have time. I was so busy trying to get it reading and writing and figuring out what was going on and... And by the time I did, it takes quite a while to go through the auto-tune setup on that, and I had to get out the door. So I just didn't have time because I don't have the 39 installed on my work computer, which is the only place where I could read it and write it. So I just said, you know what, the hell with it. So I wouldn't mind a copy of the archive at some point.
Yeah, not a problem. When I get home, I can send it to you on Discord. First thing I do is I take them and I save them to the computer because I don't want to mess them up. But knowing to do that, and then you got to try and sort it all out all over again. But yeah, that one's complicated enough. The first step, hook it up and save a copy.
Okie doke, sorry about that. I'm in the middle of doing some work on the system, and you got to watch here because if I have the keyboard turned on and I don't pay attention, the cat jumps up, and then who knows what could happen. My luck, pause would hit just right to do Control-Alt-Delete.
I don't have to worry about cats. I have dogs, and they don't get on my keyboard, but I had a power flash yesterday at a very inopportune time, and I hadn't saved it in the last 10 minutes, so I was quite bummed at the amount that I lost on what I was doing.
Yeah, we usually have both. They both have their own. You know, the cats are up on everything, and jump up, you know, right on your keyboard or your lap right in the middle of something. And so they're a pain in that respect, but they're easy to leave, you know, on their own for quite a while, where the dogs, you know, are much better at that. But you know, you can't leave them like you can the cats. So, you know, they all have their own things. We have both, so we have to put up with it in all ways. All right, after yours, I'm going to get back to what I'm doing here. I want to try to get this stuff squared away. Each day I try to nip a little bit of the changes to the system until I get everything done, and I'm getting pretty close. Just a few punch list items. After yours, W8FU.
Just like designing that code point for that new radio. Tweak, tweak, tweak. Eventually it'll get done. I have a good evening. Good luck to you. May your cat not control-alt-delete you. WHDPD.
Is that Brian, Police Department?
KFATIC.
Yes, sir, Mr. Jack, I missed you this morning. But I was running a little bit late to get out the door to try and cut grass before it started raining.
Yeah, so I finished it early. I changed, I put my fence out and everything else. But the back yard was full of grass, and high grass. And go out there with a big lawnmower and cut the whole thing before it rained. And it sounds like it's going to come really bad.
Well, I was moving along at a pretty good clip, but we got a late start. I had to do a little bit of repair to the lawnmower, and we had a couple of things to do in the graveyard before we got started. But I got as much done as I normally would, which means I have a good day ahead of me. Hopefully it's not too wet, but, you know, we'll deal with that as it comes.
Yeah, you're right. Al this morning said, Jack, watch out for the thunderstorm coming today. That's what he told me.
Well, they canceled golf already at 3:30 this afternoon. They decided to call it. So, no golf today. Go to the restaurant, have me some food, and go home to the wife and kids.
That
sounds good. Enjoy it anyhow. I usually do. This is the day. I mean, I'm early, of course, because I'm not golfing, but I meet my one friend at Coney Island, 11 and Gratiot. Sit there and shoot the crap with him and go home about 10:30, and this is going to be different. I'm walking in so early. People, I don't even know if the people that usually serve me are going to be working yet or not.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Did he get that 10 meters going yet?
No, the 10 meters still in the garage. I got my eye on antenna, though. I just got to get the people that, well, the wife's approval, but I'll get that done before too long. I have to have it up before winter, that's for sure. And then I can at least explore a little bit. Damn car beeps and honks and all kinds of great things at me. All right, Jack, I'm at the restaurant. We'll take a walk inside and see who's here. I'll talk to you later. Have a great evening. Don't enjoy the rain too much because I don't want the grass to grow. We want the rain to go away. Catch you later. 73 WATP, clear on your file.
Hi, Brian. Good to hear you. Good talking to you. We'll talk again anytime you like. No problem at all. See you, babe. Yeah, see you. Have a good dinner.
10-31.
Testing 1, 2, 3.